Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Nun Vav. We are holding on daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, 10 lines from the end of the page. Omar Rav, right after the word Teku. So we're in the middle of a discussion of an animal that is Galuda, that skin has been removed from it. So we said that if there's a certain amount of skin that remains on the animal, that the animal is not going to be a Trefa. So the discussion we're going to have to finish up that Sugya of Galuda is whether the Or Beis HaPrasos, the skin that's on the bottom of the animal's legs, whether that's considered to be skin or is that considered to be Basar because of its softness. And it's going to have two nafkin, both in the halacha of gluda, whether that's considered remaining skin, as well as in the halacha of tumas nevela, that the or of an animal is not subject to tumas nevela, but the basar is. So what about that or, the or that's so soft that it might have the status of basar? Then the Mishnah on the top of Nun Vav Amud Aleph is going to list off the seven trefos that we have by an oaf, meaning the way the parak has gone is we had elu trefos by a behema, we had elu ksheros by a behema. The Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to have elu trefos of an oaf, and on Amud Beis we're going to have a Mishnah of elu ksheros of an oaf. Before we get to that Mishnah on Amud Beis, though, the Gemara is going to discuss bedika for trefos on a bird that's been bitten by a chulda on its head. The concern is that the chulda is bitten right through the membrane around the malach. So is there any way to check if that in fact has happened or if the bird is still intact? So we're going to have a long discussion of that. And then we're going to discuss the discoloration of the internal organs of a bird that has fallen into a fire, and when that's an indication of trefus and when it's not an indication of trefus. And then we'll get to the Mishnah of Eluk Sheros by an oath. So let's begin. Again, 10 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav, right after the word Teku. So Amar Rav, Kola or Kulo Matzil Begluda. You know, we had just gone through all these different shitos about where on the body you can have a little bit of skin that will save the entire animal from being a trefa, an entire animal that's been skinned from being a trefa. Now we're going to discuss shitos of Amoraim that hold that there is no specific spot on the body that the skin has to be. As long as the skin is healthy somewhere, that's enough to save the animal from being a trefa. So Rav says, Kol or kulo matzil begluda. Any or of the behema, wherever it might be, is going to save the animal from being a trefa when it comes to gluda. Chutz may or beis haprasos, except for the or beis haprasos, the place where the animal walks, the or at the bottom of its feet, and that's from the bottom joint on its leg, that's called the beis haprasos. We consider that to be something that's not really or. It's considered to be soft enough that it's like basar. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu or beis haprasos nami matzil. And Rabbi Yochanan says, not the or beis haprasos is also or, and therefore if that remains intact, even though the rest of the skin of the animal has been removed, it would still be kosher, would not be trefa. So by me, Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Yochanan, or beis haprasos mal shiyatzil begluda. Rabbi Yassi asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the halacha? Is or beis haprasos going to save the animal from being the trefa on account of it being gluda, of it being skinned? Amar lei matzil. He says, yes, the or beis haprasos is considered or, and therefore it in fact is matzil. Now the other context where this comes up, the Gemara is about to get into, is when it comes to tumas nevela. The Torah tells us that someone, that if an animal dies without the benefit of shchita, hanogea b'nivlas, that someone who touches the nevela is going to be tame. Now it says b'nivlasa, so Chazal darshin that it's coming to be mema'it the or, that the or of a nevela is not metame tumas nevelos, and it's not even mitstarif to pachas mikzayas of basar to make up a shear of tumas nevela. But if you have very soft or that's roi la'achila, the Mishnah is going to say later on in Daf Kuf Chav Beis that the very soft or that's roi la'achila is subject to tumas nevelos, and someone who eats the or of a nevela is considered as if he has eaten a nevela. So we're going to ask from this Mishnah on Rav Asi and ask on Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the or beis haprasos is matzil begluda. Matzil begluda means it has a din of or, not a din of basar. So Amar Lei, so Rav Asi said to Rabbi Yochanan, asking on him that you're trying to tell me that the or beis haprasos is considered regular or, but limad detana Rabbeinu, you taught us a Mishnah that talks about the status of tumas nevela when it comes to or, and you taught us elu sha'oroseyan kibsaran. The following examples are cases where the or is mitame just as much as the basar is mitame. or Beis HaParasos, the or of the bottom of the legs of the animals. So you see that that or is considered basar. It's not considered or. So Amar Leih, Rabbi Yochanan said back, Al takniteini. You can't ask me from that Mishnah. Shebelashun yachid ani shonosa. I taught it belashun yachid, meaning that's a das yachid that I was mekabel from my rebbeim that the or Beis HaParasos in the Mishnah is that it would be treated like basar is only a das yachid. So yes, I taught it to you, but I taught you that was a shita of a das yachid. It's not the shita that we follow. How do I know it's a shita of a das yachid? D'tanya, because the Braisa spells it out. Hashochet is ola, a person shechts a carbon ola, and he has a machshava during the shechita lahaktir kazayus me or shel tachas ha'alya chutz l'makomo, that he's going to be maktir a kazayus of the or that's right underneath the tail outside of the mikdash. So pasul vein bokares. So machshava chutz l'makomo, we know from the Seches Vachim, is pasul vein bokares. It's not pigul, but it creates a psul. Chutz l'zmano, he has in mind that he's going to that he's going to be maktir a kazayis of the or shetachas ha'alya after the zman haktara, meaning the next day. So then pigul v'chayav nalav kares, that's going to be pigul because the machshav chutz l'zmano is going to make something pigul, and you're going to be chayav kares for that. Eliezer ben Yehuda ish iblim Amar Mishum Rabbi Yaakov v'cheno Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvar ikum Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Echod or Beis HaParasos, ve'echod or HaRosh Shel Egal HaRach, ve'echod or Shel Tachas HaAlya, kol shemanu chachamim l'gabei tuma, elu shorosein kibsaran, that it's dafka, there are several parts of the skin of the animal that have a din of basar, and among those parts are the or Beis HaParasos, the or by the bottom of the feet, lahavi or Beis HaBoshes, and also the or by the rechem of the behema. So all of those oros have a din of basar in the sense that chutz l'mekomo pasul vein bo karis, chutz l'zmano pigul v'chayav nof karis. A machshava chutz l'mekomo will make it pasul, a machshava chutz l'zmano will make it pigul. So the or Beis HaParasos, whether the or Beis HaParasos has a din of basar, the gabi machshav is pigul, is totally in this machlokas, in this braisa, right? That the Tanakama says, no, only the or Tachas HaAlya, the or Beis HaParasos is just regular or, and it's not basar, and therefore your machshavas aren't going to matter about the or Beis HaParasos. But then you have this Das Yachid that argued on the Tanakama that said that or Beis HaParasos has a din of basar. So Tanakama is mentioned just as a stam, which apparently means that it's the shita of the Rabbim, that the or is not considered like the basar. The or Beis HaParasos is not like basar. So that's Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that the Mishnah that tells you that the or Beis HaParasos is mitame kibasar only follows the Das Yachid. It doesn't follow the Sheet of the Tanakama, which is the Das Rabbim. And therefore that Mishnah doesn't bother me. I can still maintain that the Or Beis HaParasos does not have the status of Basar, it has the status of Or, and therefore it will be Matzil Begluda. So that concludes the Sugya of Gluda. Now we move on to discuss the Halacha of Trefos as they apply to a bird, because we already had a Mishnah about Eilu Trefos Bebehema, so now we're going to have Eilu Trefos Baofos. Now all of the trefos that are usher by a behema are also usher by an oaf. The Gemara is going to say that explicitly. So the Mishnah is not listing every trefa by an oaf, because all of the trefos that we already mentioned by a behema also apply to an oaf. But the Mishnah does mention several trefos that apply by a behema as well, but we're adding a new twist, or we believe there's a new chiddush that specifically needs to be highlighted when it comes to an oaf. For example, the Mishnah mentions Nukuvas Haveshet and Psukas HaGargeres, even though we already mentioned that by a behema, because one might have thought that the idea that you need Rov Kana to be ruined is only by a behema, where a behema has a greater chius. An oaf is a smaller animal. The chius maybe can go away with a smaller. And we know that that's true. The chius of an oaf is less because you only need shchitas siman echad by an oaf. You don't need shchitas shnei simanim by an oaf. So I might have thought in halachas of trefus as well, when it comes to the kind of veshet, that a smaller amount of an impact on the kind of veshet would make it a trefa. So that's why we want to highlight that part, even though that was already mentioned by a behema. Or for example, the Mishnah has to mention the trefa of hiksa chulda al rosha. Makam shows us a trefa where a chulda whacks the bird on its head in a place that's right across from the brain to be mechadesh that it's a trefa only if it hits a dafka in that spot in the head, in the place where the membrane around the brain could be punctured. But if the bone of the skull is broken and there's no hole in the krum shel moach, that you might have thought that too would make it a trefa. So that's why our Mishnah wants to be mechadish that that's not so. Or the Mishnah also has to mention nikvu adakin, that the bnei me'ayim are punctured, because the Mishnah wants to be mechadish in the seifa, which we'll see on Amud Beis, that if the dakin are not nikvu but they are yotze migufa, it's still not a trefa. You might have thought that that even just yotze migufa would make an oaf a trefa, because again, an oaf schius is much less than a behema schius. So it's dafka in such a case, and of course we'll mention korkovan that doesn't apply by a behema, but everything that we're going to mention by an oaf has some chiddush by an oaf that doesn't apply by a behema, but of course all of the trefos of a behema apply equally to an oaf. So let's begin. Be'elu trefos ba'oaf. The following are the trefos of an oaf. Number one, nukuvas haveshet, a hole in the veshet. Number two, upsukas hagargeres, if the gargeres is split. Number three, hikata chulda al rosha, makum sha'osa osa trefa. A chulda bites the bird on its head in a place where a hole in that spot would make it a trefa, meaning right where the brain is, where if it would puncture the membrane around the brain, it would make it a trefa. Number four, nikava korkovan, one of the stomachs of the animal, the korkovan, has a hole in it. Number five, nikvu adakin, the intestines have a hole in it. Number six, naflo la'or v'nechmeru b'nei me'eha, the bird fell into a fire and its intestines have become discolored. So in what sense? Im yerukim psulin. If they've turned green, normally they're all red. So if they've turned green, they're pasul. And when and im adumim ksherim. But if they're red, they're kosher. When they check in these large places, like in Empire or even like David Elliott, where they have like 1,000 birds, you know, come by in an hour, they have these experts in ilchus trefas, and they have the birds ripped open, and they're just eyeballing them, because you're not going to check every trefa of a bird. It's unnecessary. Most of them are amiyachenu matsui. So they're just eyeballing them. What are they eyeballing? If they see anything that's out of place or discolored, if there's a major discoloration, then they know that's an indication of trefus. Then they put it aside and they examine more carefully afterwards. So drasa, number seven, the seventh trefa, drasa utrafa, if a person had trampled on it or had thrown it bakosal against the wall, osheritzatz the behema, or an animal had attacked it, umefarcheses, and the bird is still jumping around, but it's not able to stand. It's trembling. So in all those cases, v'shasa me'es la'es ushchata k'shera, that if you waited 24 hours and it survived 24 hours, and then you shecht it, it is going to be kosher. The Rambam, when he quotes this halach, ninth parak of Hilchos Shechita, says that, well, wait a second, okay, so you waited, it survived 24 hours, but it went through this traumatic experience. Do you need to now do a bedika for trefos, or can you just let it be? Can you assume the fact that it survived 24 hours means that even a bedika is unnecessary? So the Rambam writes that you have to check it from head to toe to see if there are any trefos that we mentioned over here, or it's nisrasek evarim shebifnim, and it loses its tzura. And it says, even if one of the evarim is nisrasek, where and that aver is an aver that if it were removed, it would not make it a trefa, like the spleen or the kidneys, the oaf would still be a trefa if it's nisrasik, except for the beis harechem, where if it's nisrasik, it's kosher. And the kana and the veshet don't require bedika, because nefila doesn't affect the kana and the veshet. So that's how the Rambam writes. So you still need to do bedika on all of the limbs that could be affected by such a trauma, by the animal being crushed. Now, there is this halacha by a behema as well, that if a behema falls, you have such a din of a nefula, where nisraskwe varim, where we assume that it's just shaken up to the point where something could have gone wrong inside and the animal became a trefa. There is a machlokas aposkim, though, which, whether by ofos rechoshesh, when it's nafla ala aretz, when an of fell on the ground. See, by behema it said explicitly fell on the ground. Over here it didn't talk about falling from a high place by an oaf. What did it talk about? Someone stepped on it, threw it against the wall, something like that. Why not talk about a bird falling on the ground? So the Knesset HaGedolah and the Beis Lechem Yehuda and other poskim write, because there's no such thing as an oaf falling on the ground. Because an oaf can fly. So if you drop it from a high place, it's not going to experience that kind of trauma when it falls on the ground, and therefore it would not be a problem. Prima Gadim even make a little more, and he says that even if the wings of the bird are tied up, so it's unable to fly, just the fact that it has legs, that it can catch itself on it, that would be enough to take away the concern of Trefa. But in the Sefer Ziv Chet Tzedek, Sivkat Niralik, he writes that the Achronim reject both of these kulas, and they say we shouldn't be somech in this halacha. They have to be both taken oath that fell on the ground as well. And the Prisha says that if a person was mapil an oath, then it has din nefila even if its wings are not tied up. It's one thing if a bird falls from a high place, but if you throw a bird down, so the force of a human being throwing it, even if the bird has wings that are that it's able to use, is still going to make it a trefa. So that's why it became a major issue in the Tshuvas Doviv Mesharim. Chel Gimel Simon Sadi was asked the following shaila: how do they do it in these big places? They have, it's not that someone brings one little bird, someone buys a bird for $5 and brings it to the shochet. They have these truck full of these boxes where all these birds are stuffed into these boxes. They unload them from the truck and then they take them out and shech them. So how do they unload them from the truck? So sometimes the trucker will take the box and just throw the whole box, and the box will land on the floor, and right away they'll start taking the birds out and they'll start shechting them. So David Misharm said, shouldn't that be chshash of trefas? Because here you have, it's a human being throwing it down, its wings aren't going to help it, because it can't fly out of the box, it's omdim tzvufim, they're not able to move, its legs aren't going to help, nothing's going to help it, so isn't that like throwing it against the wall? Isn't that a problem with trefas? He says, taka, we should be careful, that they should lower it in a way where they're not chucking the whole box, that they gently lower it to the ground, because that taka could be a problem. The Achronim suggests maybe there's makom lahakel because the bottom of the box itself, it doesn't actually land on the ground. The bottom of the box protects it, but the shakeup that it goes through doesn't seem that the bottom of the box will help as far as that's concerned. So that's something that they need to be careful about, that they don't just throw those boxes of ofos around. Okay, says the Gemara. How do you let's say you had that, going back to the case in the Mishnah where the chulda bit the of on the head. Right, keneged the moach. So, is there a way to tell whether it actually punctured a hole in the membrane around the brain? So, Rav Shmuel v'Levi Darmi machnas yado lefnin. What you could do is you could put your finger inside the bird's mouth and ubodek and push upward, push the brain upward and see if it pops out of the top where the bite happened. So im mevatzveitz va'ola trefa. If the brain starts coming out of the top where the chulda had bitten it, then you know the bird is a trefa. Vim lav kshera. But if it stays inside the body of the bird, it doesn't come out of that hole, then it's kosher. So says Gemara, well, wait a second. Hani chlamad yamra diminkiv karma tata'a. I understand very well, according to the Amora that holds, that it's only a trefa if both the Krum HaElyon and the Krum HaTachton are punctured. So then this is a good test. Were both membranes punctured? If they both were, the brain will pop right out. If only one of them was punctured, it will stay in, and then you know that it's kosher. So that makes sense. That test works. Elamad Yamar Inkivi La'a Afal Gavdilo Inkiv Tata'a. But if you hold that the upper membrane being punctured is enough to make it a trefa, even though the lower membrane is still intact, what have you proven by the fact that the brain's not popping out when you apply some pressure? It could be that the lower membrane is holding it in, but the upper membrane is totally open, and it's really a trefa. So Yisadin Kavilah answers Gemara, no, it's not a concern, because if the ilah, the upper membrane, was in fact punctured, tata agav ruche mifka paka. The lower membrane is very soft, and just the pressure that you're applying and the openness of the upper membrane would allow it to be broken right through. So applying that pressure would be able to tell you, even if just the upper membrane was punctured. Amr Ziri ain bedika l'chulda. Ziri disagrees with this whole bedika. He says there is no way of checking whether the chulda's bite rendered this bird a trefa, because it has very narrow teeth, and therefore, even if there's a hole in the krum, sometimes the brain's not going to go through because the hole is so tiny. Who cares that it's got such tiny? The brain is like it's a liquid; it will come right out. Meaning, if it's a small hole, so the brain will go through the small hole. You know, it's not all going to pop out as one piece. So Amar Rav Ushaya Mibneshashina Dakos Va'akumos. Now the point is that the teeth of the chulda are not straight; they're also angled. So when it bites the bird on the head, it's going to make a hole, but at an angle. And when you're doing the bedika, you're pushing it straight. So there may be a hole through the krum shel moach and through the area on top of it, but it's not going to come out, because when you're pushing it through the krum shel moach, you're pushing it directly toward a closed area, because you're pushing it in a straight way when you're doing this bedika. That's why there's no bedika. So Gemara tells us, kisolik l'nardah, when Ziri went from Bavel to Nahardah, how do I know it's from Bavel? Because Rashi tells us it's from Bavel, right? That when Ziri went from Bavel to Nahardah, it's interesting that the Maritz Chayis points out, it's a very Maritz Chayis kind of point that he makes, that the word salik is almost always used to describe going to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is gavah mikol haratzos, and so the Gemara talks about someone going to Eretz Yisrael. It says salik is the lashon of aliyah, right? A person goes up to Eretz Yisrael. Bavel is nemucha mikol haratzos, is the lowest. It's in a valley. It's the lowest of all lands. So when we talk about going to Bavel, we always say nachis, that a person went down to Bavel. Now Nahardah is a place in Bavel, so l'chora it doesn't make sense that you would have salik l'Nahardah, that a person would go up to Nahardah. Nahardah is in Bavel, so says Maritz Chayis, that's what Rashi is telling us, that Nahardah is, he was going from Bavel to Nahardah, meaning Nahardah is on the way from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, meaning from the major centers in Bavel you pass through Nahardah on your way to Eretz Yisrael, meaning yes, it's in Bavel, but it's on the way up already, so it's kisalik because it's on the way up. Someone who's going from the city of Bavel and Bavel to Nahardah is actually being Ola. So when Ziri went from Bavel and he reached Nahardah, so he sent to Bavel that the following message. So anyway, Kisaluk l'Nahardah, when he went to Nahardah, Shaluklu, he said, Dvarim Shamarti Lefnechem, that which I told you, that there's no way to check for the trefa of a chulda having bitten a bird, Tozein Biyadi, it was a mistake. Beram kacham m'shoed Rav Shem ben Lakish, bodkin l'chulda biyad, that you can be bodek a chulda bite by using your hand. Avalo b'masmar, the only thing you can't do is you can't use a nail to check. Meaning, you might say, what's the whole concern over here? That the membrane around the brain is punctured. So let me open up the animal's head, I'll take a nail and I'll just run it gently over the membrane and I'll see if it stops anywhere. If it stops, that must be where there's a hole. Otherwise, it will smoothly go over the entire membrane. So he says, no, that's not a good bedika. That's not going to work. Why should you not do that? Because sometimes you'll make a hole and then you'll be masin monim shel Yisrael unnecessarily, because the nail is sharp. So you're going to make a hole in the membrane. Then you say, oh, it looks like there's a hole in it. It's a trefa. No, but it wasn't really a trefa. You just made the hole during the bedika. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Af B'Masmar. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, you can use a masmar to do the bedika as well. You can use a nail to do the bedika as well. Says the Gemara, B'Plukta, to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. This is, in fact, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. This machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you can use a nail to do the bedika of the trefas, is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. Chad Badik B'Yada, V'Chad Badik B'Machta. One of them used to do the bedika with his hand by sticking his finger into the mouth of the animal and pressing upward to see if the brain came out of the top, and the other one used to do the bedika with the nail to run it over the krum shel moach. So man de badik biyada, amar le man de badik b'machta. The one who used to do this bedika by hand would say to the one who used the needle, ad masay ata mechala mamonim shel Yisrael. You're doing such a terrible thing. You're throwing away Jewish money, because you're going to paskin on a lot more things that they're trefa than they really are. There are going to be a number of cases where there's not going to be a hole, and you're going to make the hole by doing your bedika, and you're going to claim that it's a trefa. So you have to be careful about that. Meaning, it can't be that a person could just say, ah, okay, so we'll be extra machmir, no big deal. It is a big deal to be extra machmir. People are losing money on that. Every chumrah has a kula that's attached to it. So you can't just be extra machmir. So amalei man de badik b'machta, the man de badik b'yada, the one who did the bedika with the needle said to the one who did the bedika by hand, ad masay atamach liyisol nevelos. Yeah, maybe I'm being too machmir, but you're being too makil. You're going to be machil nevelos to the Jewish people because your bedika does not work. Nevelos? Vashchuti. Wait. Nevelos means that the animal died without a shchita. This animal definitely got a shchita. The question is, was it sick? Right? The question was it Was it a treifa? Ella treifos. Okay, so he said to him, "You're being machal treifos to Klal Yisrael. Doesn't make it much better, right?" That was his critique. Sheminikav krum shalach, because maybe there actually is a hole in the krum in the krum shel malach, and you're not going to find it by doing the bedika biyad, because that hole came at an angle because the teeth of the chulda are angled and you're pushing straight, so it's not going to help to find the hole. Tistaim Rabbi Yehuda bad biyada. Now all we had said was that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, one of them checked by hand and one of them used a needle. We didn't identify yet who did what. So says Mar, it's most mistaver that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who checked by hand. Titan Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda botkin l'chulda biyad. Avalo b'masmar, that you could check a chulda biyad, but not with a masmar, not with a nail or a needle. Nishbara etzem afal pishtolonik of krum shel moach, and if the bone of the skull is broken, even though there is no hole in the krum shel moach, it would also be a tray for Rabbi Yehuda holds. So tistayim. So you see from there, from the first half of that statement, that Rabbi Yehuda is the Tana that holds that you're bodek biyad, but not b'machat, and not with a masmar. And Rabbi Nechemiah is the Tana that was bodek b'machat, and was not bodek biyad. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses a difference between two different types of birds, because hagufa kasha, the brisa itself is a stira. Amrit botkin l'chul d'biyad avalo b'masmar. On the one hand, the brisa says they should do the bedika dafka by hand and not using a needle or a nail. Alma isli b'dikusa, but that tells us that there is a way to be bodek, whether only the skull, the bone of the skull has a hole in it, and the krum is still intact, in which case the oaf would be kosher, or if the krum also has a hole, the membrane also has a hole, in which case it would be treifa. But the point is, if it's only the bone of the skull that has a crack, then it's fine, right? That's what the whole bedika is about. V'hadatani, but then the brisa went on to say, Nishbar etzem avol bishalonik ev krum shel malach. That even just the bone is broken, even if the membrane around the brain is not punctured, it's going to be a treifa. Amalasli b'dikusa. Sounds like no bedika you're going to do is going to help, because even if just the bone is punctured, it's a treifa. So says Gemara. So it's a stira in the brisa. Says Gemara, a seif asan lo'ov shalmayim. It's not a stira. Two different types of birds. The case where just a broken bone in the skull, a broken skull, is going to make it a treifa, is talking about a bird that lives by the water. Hol ve'in lo krum, because it doesn't have a krum shalmoach. Says Gemara, in lo krum salkadaitach. The Gemara says, we don't think that that's biologically correct. It does have krum shel malach, elahol krum arach. It has a very soft krum shel malach, and therefore, if the skull which protects the malach is broken, that would be enough to make it a treifa. But a bird that lives by the land, the broken skull would not be enough to make it a treifa. You'd also need that the krum shel malach would be punctured. So I'm Rav Nachman l'Ravanan, Mar Amar Shmuel Badik Biyada Umachshir, V'huna Chavrin Amar Rav Badik Biyada Umachshir. You told me that Shmuel would do the check by hand, and he'd be machshir if the brain didn't pop out when he'd applied the pressure. And Huna Chavirin told me that Rav was Badak Biyada Umachshir. So you see that only that if the krum is still, the membrane is still intact, even though the bone is punctured, the bird is going to be kosher. But Vatani Levi, taught in the Braisa, Trefel Shemanu Chacham Bebehema, Kenegdan Ba'of. That every trefa, as we mentioned before, every trefa that we said by a behema applies to an oaf as well. Yasra le'en oaf, and then there are certain trefas that apply only to an oaf, even though they don't apply to a behema, such as nishpara etzem afal pishlo nikev krum shel malach, a broken skull, even if the membrane around the brain is not punctured by an oaf, that would be a trefa. By a behema, that would not be a trefa. So how can Rav and Shmuel be machshir an oaf that has a hole in the skull, but the krum is still intact? That's one of the things that distinguishes an oaf from a behema, that even just a broken skull would be a trefa. So he gives the same obvious answer. Amalei hahu ba'ov shalmayim hol ve'en lo krum. No, that's so bad. An oaf shalmayim is even just a broken skull is going to make it a trefa, because it doesn't have a krum. And again, en lo krum salkadaitach, doesn't have anything around its brain. No, elahol krum arach. It means that that which is immediately around its brain is very soft, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have anything around its brain. Ha'utar negolta davai be Rav Chana. There was a Tarnagolas by Rav Chana. Shadil Kamed Rav Masna, and he sent the Shaila to Rav Masna. Nishpara Etzem Lunikiv Krum Shalmach Havai. And the Shaila was a case where it was a broken skull, but the Krum Shalmach was intact. Va'achshira. So Rav Masna was machshirit. So Amalei, Rav Chana said to Rav Masna, how could you be machshir such an oath? Va'atani Levi, Trefa Shaman Chacham Behema, Kenegdin Ba'of, Yasser Alein Oath, Nishpara Etzem Afli Shalonikiv Krum Shalmach. Didn't we learn all the Trefas of Behema apply to an oath? But an oath has one extra one, that even if just the skull is broken and the Krum Shalmach is intact, it's also going to be a Trefas. So how can you say that it's kosher? Amalei, again, the obvious answer. Hasam Ba'of Shalmayim, Hol Ve'in Lo Karum. That's so about an oath Shalmayim that doesn't have this membrane around its brain. Ein Lo Krum. Well, it doesn't have anything around it. No, it has a very soft membrane around its brain, but that's ultimately the answer always, meaning that there are two types of ofos. There's the of shalmayim, where just a broken skull is going to make it a trefa, and then there's the of shal, not mayim of aretz, where just a broken skull will not make it a trefa. And the question by the of shal aretz is, how do you do the bedika? Do you do the bedika by yad? Do you do the bedika by using a needle? Fine. Rav Shizvi badik b'shimsha. Rav Shizvi used to look at the Krum Shalmach but in the sunlight to see if there was, meaning it's a very, it could be a tiniest hole. So in order to find the hole, he used to look in the sunlight. We just met a woman last week, Tzili Schneider, I think her name is. She started this organization called Kesher Yehudi. So she's an unbelievable woman. She grew up a Slonim Chassid. So she said, growing up, the apartment next door to her was the Slonim Rebbe, and the other apartment on the other side of her was Rav Eliashiv. So she always remembers her mother telling her, whenever they had a shayla and a chicken, go bring it to the Rav. So she would always go knock on, as a little girl, she'd knock on Rav Eliashiv's door. He was the rabbi, so she'd bring it to Rav Eliashiv, and he was always sitting and learning, because that's what Rav Eliashiv did. And he would get up, and he would take it, and she said he would always go over, she remembered so clearly, he would always go over to the window to look at it. He would always, that kachu nahag, that was his minag, to be bodik trefos dafka by the window. So this Rav Shizvi did the same thing. Rav Shizvi, dafka by this trefa, by the Krum Shalmach, Rav Shizvi was bodik b'shimsha, he would check by the sun. Rav Yemar bodik b'maya, Rav Yemar would fill the brain with water and see where it's leaking. So if there was a leak, then you know the Krum Shalmach was obviously punctured. Rav Acha bar Yaakov bodik b'gilu d'chitza, he used to take a piece of wheat and would see if it stopped, and he'd run it across the outside of the moach, and he would see if it stopped at any point. So if it got stuck at any point, that's where the hole must be. Amr of Shizvi, Hani Avzi Didan Ka'ov Shalmayim Danyan. Our geese are like an of shalmayim in that the krum around the moach is very soft, and therefore if you just have a broken skull, then it would be a trefa. Nafla la'or, then the Mishnah said that if the animal fell into a fire and the intestines are discolored, that's also a trefa. So Amar Rabbi Yochum Shem Rebbe Sama Yeshua, shir yirukasan kishir nukuvasan. How much of a discoloration does there have to be? The same amount that a hole would make it a trefa, that amount being discolored would make it a trefa as well. Manu kuvasan b'mashu, afirukasan b'mashu. Just like a hole that's even just a mashu would make it a trefa, a discoloration of yarok, a greenish color, would also make it a trefa. Yarok means different things in different places. It could be brownish, it could be yellowish. Point is, it's not red. Normally, when the Gemara wants to say green, it will say yarok kikarti. Green like a leek. That's green. So yarok doesn't necessarily mean green over here, but it means a discoloration. What if the liver, that's the part of the liver that's right next to the bnei me'ayim, becomes green? Mahu. So amalei trefa. That would make it a trefa. Veloyehe ella nitla. So ask the Gemara, why? Why would that be a trefa? Shouldn't it just be like if the kavid were missing? And the Mishnah said on the Ndalat Amin Aleph, then nitla kavid, as long as you have a kazayis left of it, it's going to be kosher. So why is the kavid that's turned partially green, or partially discolored, going to be more chamur than if it's partially missing? If it's partially missing, it's kosher. So Amar Rava, kiven sharika kavik negem bnei me'ayim, v'yadu ha'shnafu la'or v'nechem bnei me'ayim u'trefa. Because since it's right by the right, it's discolored right by the part that's connected to the bnei me'ayim, we know that that happened from it falling into the fire, and therefore the bnei me'ayim was also affected, and that's what makes it a trefa. Rabbi Shimon Levi habalei ahi tarnagolas. Rabbi Shimon Levi had a tarnagolas that had fallen into a fire. Shadri l'kamed Rabbi Lozer hakapar beribi. So he sent the shayla to Rabbi Lozer hakapar beribi. So Amalei, Rabbi Lozer hakapar said to Rabbi Shimon Levi, Yerukinavu, that the intestines are all green, are all discolored. Va'achshra. Rabbi Elazar HaKapur was machshir the tarnagolas. So the Gemara asks, va'anantzan yerukin psulin. Wait. If it's discolored, if it's turned green, that's the sign of it being pasul. So it says, well, no. Lo amri yerukin psulin ela b'korkavan b'leiv uv'kaved. It's only three specific spots where that discoloration is going to pass, is going to make it a trefa. The evarim that are normally supposed to be red, the korkavan, the lev, and the kaved, if they are yarok, it's a trefa. But the dakim are always yarok. So if they are yarok, then it's a sign of a healthy bird. Where do we say Yerukim are pasul? Only by the Korkavan, the Lev, and the Kavit. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Ableihu Tarnagolta. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef also had a Tarnagolus that fell into a fire. Shadra l'kamed Rabbi Avo. So he sent the Shadra to Rabbi Avo. Amar Lev, Rabbi Avo said to him, Adumin Havu Utrefa. It's red, and therefore it's a Trefa. But wait, no, red is the good color. Red is supposed to be, that's kosher. So Amalei, Adumin Shahoriku, V'yerukin Shahedimu Trefa. The insides of the body that are supposed to be red, that have turned yarok, or the parts that are supposed to be yarok that turn red, are a sign of a trefa. Meaning there are different organs are supposed to have different colors. Whenever they're discolored in one direction or the other, it's a trefa. When is red good? When it's in the lave, the cork of under the kaved. Amr Shon Barchia Amr Rav Mani Adumin Shoriku Ushlakan. If you have parts of red, parts that are supposed to be red, let's say the lave, that has now become yarok, and then you cook them a little bit in boiling water, you boil them, v'chazru v'adimu, and now the heart turns red again by boiling it, k'sherin. Then it's kosher. Then you know it's okay. My timer, kutra ayil buhu, it was just a little bit of smoke damage, but it was something that could be undone. It wasn't permanent damage. Amr of Nachman Yitzchak Avinan Nomar, adumin shalo uriku, ushlakan va'uriku, trepa. He says, you know, it should also come out with chumra. That let's say you have a heart that looks red, but then you put it in some boiling water, and it turns green right away. That should be a sign of a trepa. My timer, igloi ba'asayu. It's showing its true colors in a very literal sense now, right? It's turning yarok. So Amr of Ashi, Hilkach lo lechul inish ela b'shlaka. So Rav Ashi says, wow, that's a huge chumra. That means you open up the bird, everything looks fine. You should not just eat it. You should have to boil it first and see if it still looks fine. Because maybe it fell into a fire and the heart is going to turn yarok. So v'lohi. We don't pass in that way. Because achzuke reyasa lo mechaskinan. Even though it's true that if you were to boil the heart and it would turn yarok, it would in fact make it a trefa, we don't have to be choshish that that's actually going to happen. So therefore, you don't have to do that test. You don't have to put it into the boiling water. Drasu trafa bakosal. We then said that if an animal is trampled on or thrown against the wall, the bird is trampled on or thrown against the wall, so if it survives, me'es la'es, and you shecht it, it's kosher. So Amar Rav Elazar ben Antigonus Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yanai, achazu va'achazu, whether it's a bird that's been trampled on by a person or been thrown against the wall or was crushed by another animal, even if it waits me'es la'es, tzricha b'dika. You do need to check it after shechita. That's what we pointed out before, what the Rambam says, which parts you actually, you don't need to check the kind of a veshet, but you need to check those parts of the animal, that of the bird, that would likely be affected by such an event happening to it. Now that we've had the Mishnah of Elu Trefos and Elu Ksheros, and then we had Elu Trefos Ba'of, now the only thing left is the Elu Ksheros Ba'of. The following things are kosher by an oaf. Nikvar Gargaris, if the Kana has a hole in it, Osha Nistika, or it has a crack along the length, Hikata Chulda Al Rosha Makum Shein, also a Trefa, or a Chulda bites it on the head, but not right by the brain where it would make it a Trefa. Nikav HaZefek, the stomach has a hole in it. Rebbe Yomer Afilu Nital, even if it's missing, it would be kosher. Yatsu B'nei Me'eha, if V'lo Nikvu, if the B'nei Me'ayim come out and there's no hole in them. Nishtabru Gapeha, the bones of the wings are broken. Nishtabru Ragleha, the legs of the chicken or of the bird are broken. All these things would not make it a trefa. Nimritu Knafeha, the large feathers of the wings are plucked. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im nitla hanotza psula. If the notza, which is the feather that's right next to the basra of the animal, it's almost like a woolly type of substance that protects the goof of the animal from cold, the goof of the bird from cold, if that's removed from it, So then it's going to be pasul. Then it's going to be a trefa. That would be considered like a galuda, like an animal that's missing its skin. That where we said Rameir was machshir and the chamim pasul. So we're going to say over here, Rabbi Yehuda would say that part by a bird is considered to be so critical for its protection that it would having missing it would make it pasul. So maybe we'll stop there. We'll pick up with the Gemara Bezras Hashem tomorrow. Yes.